I want to talk this morning on the hand of God. Now then, everybody like your hands? They're very valuable. Your feet are very valuable. But you do so much with your hands that if you lose any small part, it hurts. If you lose your little finger, it would cause problems probably in working with your hands. And I've got arthritis in some of mine. That right there has been giving me more trouble lately. The Lord doesn't have any arthritis in his hands. His hands are valuable. His hands are powerful. His hands is everything we need to help get us to heaven. We're going to have to look to him and reach out to him. And he's going to be able to help us with his hands. I'm thankful today for the hand of God. The hand of God has been something that has got me where I'm at. I wouldn't be saved. I wouldn't be sanctified. I would be out in sin. I'd be probably way down the road somewhere in the wrong spot. But the hand of God showed up in 1971, and he began to work with me. And it took me a little while. I didn't just yield immediately. But the bottom line is he started, I'd say, sometime in the spring. And he worked through me with the summer. And I want to say something right here to the young people. Remember, you make an impression on people. The young people made a strong impression on me. I started going to church in the spring of 1971. Well, at the camp meeting of Guthrie in 1971. And the Lord, he used those young people to get my attention. He used them to help me to see that there was something better than what I had. I had a lot of stuff. Daddy made good money. He wasn't rich, but we made good money. We had a lot of different things. But the bottom line is there's one thing them young people had that I didn't have. You know what that was? That was peace and joy and happiness. I did not have that. And so consequently, the Lord used them to get my attention and help me to see that there was more to life than just going after riches and businesses and so forth. He wanted me to get down to the bottom line to live for him. And I did. On the 31st day of October 1971, I got saved. By myself, by my bed, in my bedroom. And I appreciate it. He went home, a man by the name of Brother Lloyd Eck. There's some know who he is. But he come by the business where I was working, and he worked with me for 3 hours trying to get me to get saved. He knew I was under conviction, evidently. I never really asked him, but I think he did. And he come by, and he pleaded, and he finally, in frustration, he said, "Carl, if you just get down on your knees and pray, the Lord would forgive you." And I wouldn't do it. But the hand of God got in that car with me that night, and he followed, went right with me to the house. And I went on and got around and got dressed or changed my clothes and got in my night clothes and went on to bed, and I couldn't go to sleep. And what the Lord showed me is I was interested in being rich. That was my goal, the education and being rich. And I set my goal for that, and the Lord let me know. He said, "You can be ever so rich, and I can take it all away in a moment's time." Well, that got my attention. And then Brother Lloyd told me about I believe it was a cousin of his. And this young man got killed at a young age. The Lord let me know, "You're not too old or too young to die. You're not too young to die." So it's been the hand of God that has got me where I am. And it's what's got you. And that hand of God is valuable for you and I today. Let's go to Hebrews, the 2nd chapter and the 18th verse to kind of get a starting place here. 2 and 18 of Hebrews. Again, we desire your prayers. He said, For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Now, what this is talking about is he's able to do something quickly to help you. If you start crying out to him, if you're in trouble or problems, the devil's attacking, he can be right there in a moment's time to help you out. To help you, to strengthen you, to steady you, get a hold of you, so to speak, and keep you. All right, let's go to Hebrews now, the 4th chapter, and the 14th verse, 4 and 14 of Hebrews. It says, Right in my voice. I'm having a problem with it this morning. 4 and 14 said, seeing then that we have a great high priest, not just anybody, but a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Then it says, let us therefore. This is a scripture that everybody ought to memorize. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in every time of need. There is not anything that the Lord can't help us with. There's not anything that his hands cannot handle. There's not anything that it can be in a position that, well, you may think, well, where am I going to get the help? The Lord. We always need to look up. He is there to succor them, to help them, to bless them, to work with them. He said, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched. In other words, he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He wants us to reach out to him. He wants us to say, I need you, Lord. But was in all points tempted. He had been tempted. He's tried. He's been pressed. He's gone through the things down here. He was set up that way so he would understand what we're going through. So he would know how to help you and I. He's gone through the trials and the tribulations. He's had the people against him. He's had the different things that's come in one way or another. But the bottom line was, so consequently, when he went back, he knows how to help you and I. He doesn't struggle with it. Sometimes you and I may have a problem or a battle, and we say, well, I don't understand. The Lord understands. He knows exactly what to do. He knows how to do it, when to do it, the best way to do it. And so consequently, he wants you and I to come to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. All right, let's go to Luke 4 and 40. We will be in the New Testament all the way through. There's a lot. There's quite a few scriptures in the Old. Well, there's a lot of them. On the hand. But I wanted to use Christ. I wanted to use him because he's the one that's going to be helping us. So I desired to use all of his. So it's all in the New Testament today. 4 and 40 of Luke. It says here, now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and he healed them. And then devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. Now my point in right here, and I couldn't find a scripture, since Clay, if you can think of one, of where that he saved a person. In other words, he laid hands on them and saved. But here it's indicating that he helped the person out. Not only did he heal them, but some of them cleaned, and the spirits were taken out of them, or cleaned out, rebuked out of them. I'll get it right and read. He rebuked them not to speak. Said devils also came out crying and saying, thou art the Christ. And said above them, he laid his hands on every one of them, and he healed them. Today, folks, God can save anybody from the state of sin. That's my point. He can save anybody. It doesn't matter. The devil will come along and he say, you can't be saved. You can't give this up. You can't do that or that. Listen, folks, the hand of God can do anything. It's powerful enough and righteous enough to do what we needed to do. He can cast out devils. He can save and sanctify people that thought there was no way I can get help. Drunkards and alcoholics and people that's smoking and drinking, people that's caught up in lustful spirits and so forth. The Lord has the power of the hand of God to come along and help you and I to get the zeal. He can lift you up and out. And some people are down, and they're down, and they're praying, and they're begging, and they're pleading. And they've had a point where they pray through, and what happens? You feel the touch of the hand of God. Yet peace and that joy is the Lord touching you and I. And you feel that load go off of you. And you feel the peace flow in and the joy flow in. Brother Sammons, when he got saved, I use him as an example. I worked with him quite a bit in my early ministry. And he got down there and he was praying. And he seemed like he couldn't get anywhere. He just couldn't get anywhere. And he said, "Lord, if you can do anything for me, have mercy on me and save me." And right then he got it. The hand of God moved right then. He said the peace flowed in. Everything settled down. Everything changed. He came up from there a new man, a new lease on life, something that he'd never had before. He'd been drinking. He had done all kinds of different things. I could name things for the one. But the bottom line is, he changed by the hand of God, touched him, redeeming and washing him in the blood of God. He got something he'd never had before. And he became a blessing to the church of God for a number of years. Now, he was in the military. He was on a boat that was called the Unsinkable. That boat, which was a destroyer. I've seen the boat. I've been on it. I've been on it with Brother Sammons. Brother and Sister Sammons took Rebecca and I down there and gave us a personal tour. Not too many people have that. His own son hadn't had it, I don't believe. But went down there, and he told me, he said, "Here is where I was." At the very back of the boat, he was a gunner. And he was back there. He would have been back there. And he said, if I would have been there, I probably would have been killed just like that. Because the first bombs that dropped from the airplanes, they had 30 airplanes attack that ship. 30 of them. Japanese. And he said, if I would have been back there, he said, I would have probably been killed. Another man that knew Brother Sammons on that ship was his teammate, so to speak. He was back there. He said when that bomb hit, it said it knocked him out and shot him all the way up the side of the ship. But he wasn't killed. But Brother Sammons, he got saved. He got sanctified. And he preached a lot of heavy messages. All because of the hand of God. Thank the Lord for that hand of God today. Now, just what all does the hand of God do? Just what can it help you and I with? Anything. You and I, we can't do everything. At least I can't. I was telling, I don't know, somewhere. I guess it was in Sepulpa last time I was there. And I talked about my daughters. And I have two girls. Brother Ed has two girls and a boy. And one time years ago when they were little, they had a balloon and they popped that balloon. And so they were carrying the pieces of it around. And Sister Berta goes, "What you doing, children?" Said, "We're going to give it to Daddy and Daddy's going to fix it." Well, mine done the very same thing on me years later. Folks, I can't fix a balloon. Brother Ed couldn't fix a balloon. But the Lord can fix anything. Yes. The hand of God is so perfect and so powerful that no matter what you have, the problems or the troubles or the sickness or the illness, he's able to do anything you need him to do, right down to the most finite things that he can work with. All right, Matthew 14 and 22. Now this is an interesting, let's see here. It said, "Straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to go into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Well, our dear Peter, and Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." Peter was come down. When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. You and I have never walked on any water. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, began to sink. He cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said to him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. And then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Now then Peter, he said, "Lord, let me come to you." I could be wrong, but Peter is a man that was very, In other words, he didn't think things out good. He has opened his mouth and said things before he really thought it out. I think that's what he did here. But the bottom line was, he went on the water. He walked on water, folks. Walked on water. And Jesus, when Peter started looking around and seeing where he was at and what he was doing and the winds and the waves and so forth, it scared him so much that he lost his faith, so to speak, and he started sinking, and the Lord just reached out and grabbed him. Immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Now, there's going to be time, folks, that our faith is maybe going to have a hard time getting a hold of something. But the Lord's able to inspire your faith. He's able to challenge your faith. He's able to do anything that with his power and his hand of God, he's able to do anything that you need him to do. So he helped Peter walk on the water. Helped Peter do what he needed to do. All right, let's go to Luke 5. Luke, the 5th chapter and the 12th verse. 5 and 12. "It came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, 'Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean.' He put forth his hand and he touched him, saying, 'I will, be thou clean.' And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and shew thyself unto the priest, to offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded for the testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him. Great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and he prayed." Now leprosy is not so much now, but it was a very, very dreaded disease. There was no cure for it but the hand of God. So consequently, when anybody got it, they were doomsday. They were out of there. They knew that it was going to get them. It'll eat off different parts of the body, the hand, the fingers, maybe not the hand particularly, but eat on your skin and damage you and do things. That's why they had leper colony back there years and years ago, because there was no cure. But they found out when Jesus come along and they heard of what Jesus could do. Listen, folks, there's people. Now, you read things in the Bible and somebody cries out to the Lord. Well, that's what he did. Cries out to the Lord. I would dare say that they've heard of Jesus. They've heard of what he could do. They've maybe seen him. They have respect for his power and his authority. And he said, Lord, you can do something. There was nobody could do anything for this but the very powerful hand of God in healing and delivering that man from leprosy. And the Lord reached out and he touched him. And he said, "I will, be thou clean." He just put forth his hand. No big deal. Listen, there's nothing going to cause the Lord to back up, because the Lord said what? All power is given to me in both heaven and earth. Yes. Jesus has the power The Father and the Son, they have the power. They not only created everything, but they keep everything running smooth as it could be smooth, so to speak. What I mean by that, the storms and the hurricanes and all that. I've seen him answer prayer on storms. I've seen him move tornadoes. I've seen him move hurricanes. I've seen him touch. I've read about a place where a saint was in the way of a tornado. And they got to pray and the tornado went up, went right over on their house, went down on the other side and didn't bother them. That's the hand of God. That's the power of God. So the biggest extreme that you and I have, and leprosy would be one of them, if, of course, today they have things that they could work with, but back then they didn't. And he knew that he had to have help. I'm going to die. It's going to eat me up. It's going to do this, going to do that. But the Lord, he saw him, and he cried out. What did he say? Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, so we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in every time of need. Not just any time of need, but every time of need. And the leprosy departed from him immediately. And he charged him to tell no man. Oh, today, I'm thankful for the hand of God. The hand of God that has done something that nobody else can do for mankind. People say, oh, God can't do this. Oh, yeah, I can do. I believe. Well, I know. Not only believe, but I know. That the Lord is able to do anything. Do you believe that today? All right, let's go to Mark 7 and 31. Mark 7 and 31. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deep, and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said, I can't really pronounce it, Ephraio, that is, be open. And straightway his ears was open, the string of his tongue was loose, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much more a great deal, they published it. And they were beyond measure astonished, saying, he had done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. All things well. Perfect. If a person goes and has an operation, let's say a major operation, a heart operation, or something to do with our internal being, they have a recovery time. They have to be very careful in how they live for a while because of, well, my granddaughter, we were in Florida and Louisiana, and sent me a text. And let me know that she was going to the hospital to have her x-ray done, that there was a problem. I didn't know anything about it. Nobody else did either, except the ones right there, the dad and the grandparents. And it comes out that my granddaughter had a 3-pound thing in her stomach area. It wasn't in her stomach itself, but it was in here, in her midsection. At 3 pounds, it was big as a cantaloupe. And so they had to take her up. They had to do the operation. And they got everything out. Everything was benign. There's nothing there to be damaged. But what? She had to rest a little bit. She had to take it easy. But God, the hand of God, he can touch us and immediately heal us. Immediately, there's no after effects. There's no wait time. We would be, all right, Brother Curtis Williams and several ministers were praying for a woman that had a broken leg. This had been years ago, before my time. And they were in her home. They had anointed her. They had prayed for her. And they were looking for the Lord to heal her. Brother Williams said, I saw a vision. In the vision, I had a bolt of light. and said it come together and it bounced apart. It come together again and it bounced apart. And it come together again and it stayed together and said when it did, she started shouting and she come up out of that bed, I'm healed, I'm healed. Brother Matt's Gillenbeck, he come down the altar here a while back. Well, no, it's been a while, but a good while back. And he had fooled around and hurt his ankle. He was supposed to leave, I think, the next day or the day after to go to Brother Michael Smith to Africa. He was to be his helper. He was to carry the things and do the thing. He couldn't even walk, folks. He had to use crutches and so forth. And he come down there, and some of us gathered around him, and one minister started praying. That inspired another minister. He took it, and Brother Matt got up and headed toward the middle part of the Guthrie Church, and he said, I'm healed, I'm healed. Right like that. He threw everything down, and he went right on his way. Brother Philip and Sister Rosie had a child, a baby. It wasn't no child, it was a baby. He called wife and I was pastor at that time, and he called us over there to pray for him. And we did. We visited a little bit, asked questions and so forth, and we took the baby. Now, I don't remember why we done this, but we took the baby and we laid it on the floor. And the four of us got around that child. And folks, the presence of God come in that room. I mean, you could feel it. You knew he was there. There was no doubt in any of our minds that he was there. Prayer was offered. We got up and eased out of the room and the child was healed just like that. The hand of God, it's immediate, it's powerful, it's wonderful. It can do anything you need to do. The devil will tell you, no, that won't happen or this won't happen. You can't get this or you can't get that. Yes, you can. The hand of God can do it to you today. He is able to deliver. He's able to heal. He's able to bless. Listen, folks, he can do things so quickly and so easy that the bottom line is you'll be astonished. Yes. Because of the hand of God. He touched him. Looking up, he sighed, and straightway his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. Poor Jesus, he had a lot of people that did not do what he asked them to do. Yes. All right, let's go to the 8th chapter of Mark now and the 22nd verse. And he cometh to Bethesda, and they bring a blind man in him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and he led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, now this sounds a little bit not so perfect, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught, or what do you see? And he looked up and he said, well, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes. He made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town. Now this man was blind. Now it said he spit on his eyes. Now I studied on that. I thought, what's this mean? The bottom line was what he was doing was he had he couldn't open his eyelids. So he used that to get it where he could open his eyelids up. That's what the commentators say anyway. And right there, he was blind. Now, folks, today, they can do a lot of things with blindness. Well, I say blindness, if you have eye problems, you can get a lot of help. But on some of this, I don't know. I've talked to people that had cataracts. And they had the cataracts taken off. And sometimes I don't see the results that we should have saw. I know a minister years ago that had it done. And he done what he maybe shouldn't have done. But he had those cataracts taken off and it wasn't helping him a bit. But yet I know a man that I worked for, his wife, Robin, she had them. She had hers taken off and they were fine. So it's a 50-50. But with the Lord, every time is perfect. There's not a time. If he touches those eyes, they're going to be made well. If he touches them, no matter what the situation is, I got hurt back in, I got hurt as a child. And we had found a certain eye specialist that Mama took me to. And what happened is I got hit in the eye with a baseball. I happened to be right in the wrong spot, and somebody threw that ball up and hit it and hit me right in the eye. Well, several years later then, after I'd gotten saved, this was in about 1974 probably. I got saved in 71. I went in business in 73. And this was after I was in business. I was using some Ruglide and using, had it in I can't think what it's called. The deal that you put your air in your tire in. I can't think what it is. But anyway, I had it in there. I had air in the tire, and I reached down by accident and hit the core of the valve stem, and when it did, it shot stuff into my eyes. Well, that night it got really hurt. I mean, really hurt. So I was crying and praying and begging and pleading, and I couldn't get anywhere. I couldn't sleep hardly. Well, next day, Mama took me to the eye specialist, Dr. Freedy, and he checked them all out, and he said, well, yeah, you've hurt your eyes. But he said they should be fine if you just do what I tell you to do. But one thing he told me to do, he said, what I want you to do is, Mama, go by and get you some pain pills. So Mama went by and got the pain pills. She gave them to me. She stopped to go into a store, and I was fixing to take the pain pill, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, you can take it, but it ain't going to do you a bit of good. And it didn't. The pain never quit. So next step was the ministers. Brother Sammons was in Guthrie. He come down from Guthrie to where we lived in northeast Oklahoma City. Him, another young man that was a minister starting out. And they come in, and I don't know, you that knew the old general, he was quite a fella. And he eased in there, he started talking to me, and being just Brother Sammons, they anointed me and they laid hands on me. And they prayed for me, and God touched me instantly. Now, this is what I've never understood. If anybody can do it, tell me. But I went back to the eye doctor. All the pain quit, and he healed the eyes 50%. He didn't heal them all the way. He only healed them halfway. But the eye specialist looked at him. He said, Carl, you've had something happen. This ain't normal, so to speak. This is different. So I told him what happened. And he said, well, we believe in prayer in our church, but we don't get those kind of results. And so consequently, then they went on and they healed real good and everything's fine. I can see good today. But the bottom line is the Lord touched me instantly and that pain all left. And like I said, he said the pain pills ain't going to do you no good. And they didn't. But God did. He touched me by the mighty power of the hand of God, and he done what the pain pills and anything else the doc gave me. I don't remember what that was. I don't remember any medicine particularly. It wasn't doing me no good. But he did. He did, and I'm thankful for his goodness to me. All right, let's go a little bit further. Let's go to Luke 8 chapter. Luke 8 chapter, 49th verse. Luke 8 and 49. While he had spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. When Jesus heard that, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, weep not. She's not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them out, and he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway. He commanded to give her meat, and her parents were astonished. For he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. I don't know the year. But that brother from California that was so highly respected out there.
Chandler.
Who?
Chandler.
Yeah, Brother Chandler. His sister died. And the Lord spoke to him and told her, said, don't have anybody come pick that body up. Said, leave her right here. I'm going to raise her up. All right, she died in the morning. And when he told people what he was doing, he got some around to pray and so forth, and they done that. But some of them rather laughed at him and picked at him and walked out of the house and left. They started praying. They prayed on to noon. They prayed past noon till the evening time. And the Lord touched her. Now catch what it says here. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. Her spirit came again. I believe what the Lord wanted to do, he wanted to be sure she was well dead, so to speak. In other words, they couldn't say, well, she really didn't die. No, she was dead. She was dead for hours. She did not breathe. She did not move. But Brother Chandler and him, they stayed right there, and they prayed, and they prayed, and God come down, and he said, I'm going to raise her back to life, and he did. And those that was left in the house was going out every door of that building. He can raise people from the dead. Do you believe that? Do you believe he can do it? Down in Holly Hill. Now, this was before my time, but the old general was down there, and he was in a meeting. And he was... A man was back there in the back part, well, in the aisle there, and he just died. I mean, Molly knows about it. This ain't something I was told that I've heard Brother Salmons talk about it. His eyes and Brother Salmons come back there, and they laid him out on the floor and started working with him, praying over him. And he said his eyes rolled back in his head. There was no grip, no nothing. He knew that he was gone. Call the ambulance. Call this. Call that. Do this. Do that. He said, let's pray first, folks. And he held steady on that. And he said he had the man's hand in his hand as he was praying. And he said all of a sudden he felt that hand grasp his hand. He looked up his eyes, flipped back in his, turned back right, and he was alive. Now, this wasn't hours like the one Brother Chandler had, but it's still, the Lord has power over everything. Heart, soul, mind, body, spirit, he has power over everything, and he can work with anything. It doesn't matter what it is or how bad it is. People say, oh, that can never take place, or that can never happen, or they'll never live, or so forth. It doesn't matter. Jesus has all power to be able to do what we need him to do. If it didn't, I would have problems with that. Would you, brother? Yeah, you'd have problems with it too. But he's got all power. All power. Not anything he can't work with. Not anything he can't heal. There's not anything that he can fix for you and I. He can make a car run. Oh, now, Brother Carl. No, I believe he could do it. He could make a train run. He could make an airplane fly. He can do anything he needs to do. If he didn't, he wouldn't have all power. All power. Thank the Lord. He touched that young lady and he raised her to life. And all right, let's go to Mark 1 and 29. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and he took her by the hand. He lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. At evening, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were possessed, that were diseased of them that were possessed with devils and so forth. And all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. Oh, today. He said here that she was sick of a fever. Now again, things back there was different than they are today. They have things, medicines and so forth, that can do things to the body to help you. They can also do you damage, but they can help you. I know of a situation right now, not going to name who it is, but I know the person directly, and they're trying to figure out what's wrong with him. He's got a problem, evidently, and they can't figure out what it is. And it sounds, if it's what they think it is, it could be very serious. Matter of fact, there's no real cure for it outside of chemotherapy, I've been told, and or a transplant. It's that serious. But the Lord could heal that. He can heal that. I went into a house of a lady, a congregational member in Shawnee when I was pastor. And she called me on Wednesday night, Wednesday afternoon, and said, I need prayer. Something's happened to me. So I went in. Wife and I got there after another older sister that was very good friends with the one that was hurt. And I walked in, and I didn't know what was wrong with her. I talked to her on the phone that morning. I thought, what is the problem? Heart attack? I didn't know. I walked in, took one look at her, and I knew she had had a stroke. And so we started in praying, the three of us. And every time we prayed, she got a little bit better, and a little bit better, and a little bit better, and a little bit better. And she had had some neighbors that come in before we had got there, and they said, and then they come back that afternoon after we had left, and they said, there's been a drastic change here. The Lord was there. So what do you need today? What does the hand of God need to give you? He wants to help you in every way. The hand of God. The mighty hand of God. He wants to help you in every way. Now then, do we believe that? We believe he's able to do anything. Small, big. He can heal balloons. He can do the things that man can't do. I've been able to do some things for my daughters. They have needs and so forth, and I can do them. But then that one thing I couldn't do. There's been a few other things I couldn't do too. But God can do it. Lord, help us to have faith in the hand of God. The hand of God that can help us. No matter what the situation, how serious it is, he is great, mighty, powerful. Jesus Christ, the righteous, with a powerful hand. We appreciate your time and attention. Break.